On tonight's Hillbilly Nerd Talk, fake news, mama drama, old people and millennials, one-hit wonders, and going through the drive-thru.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk with Hank and Petra.
Welcome to Hillbilly Nerd Talk. I'm Hank.
And I'm Petra.
What's going on with fake news?
Thank you.
Is that better?
That's better.
We started three times. Got to keep screwing it up.
We're going with this one. Yeah, I noticed a tab on my internet homepage this week. I browse with MSN. You browse with Yahoo.
Yeah, usually.
Yeah. Well, on MSN now, up at the top where you have your headlines, you know, U.S., world, general news, politics.
Right.
Now they have fact check. And they actually run a story every week that says this week in fake news to put up online and give everybody. It's almost like that Snopes website. Like they run it down, the origin of the story, and is it, you know, true or false? And, well, come on, let's just be honest. Most of the articles on here are 1,000% politics, left-right politics.
Yeah, they seem to be the worst culprits for fake news, right?
Who?
Politics, political parties.
Oh,
Democrats,
yeah.
Republicans.
Oh, yeah. Every now and then you get some weird home remedy, you know, doctors telling you the wrong thing. I mean, sometimes you get something like that, but for every one of those, there's 999 political articles that cross your line of sight.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, and politicians, they speak in that weird politician talk. I don't know what else you can call it.
Double think, double talk.
I guess. I mean, you can sit and listen to a politician on any of those shows, those Sunday morning or any political show, and at the end, you can ask them a straight up question. At the end of it, you'll be like, "What did I have no idea what he believes?
What he said?
Where he stands on this subject?" It's this weird dance around. It must be a class.
Well, they all learned from no new taxes, and now they can't. They can't even say yes.
Now they're not allowed to say right. I mean, you can't even ask them. You can pin them down. You can literally. I've heard some of them once in a while, and I think the reporters are in on it too.
I don't think
they would allow people to come back if they really hit hard very often. So I think there's a weird game going on there, too.
Oh, absolutely.
But once in a while, you'll hear some reporter say something like, okay, yes or no, what do you think about North Korea? Or, you know, or something.
Yeah.
That's a little vague. It's hard to be yes or no on that. But you know what I mean. Yes or no. Yes or no. Do you believe in abortion or do you not believe in abortion? And then the answer will take 20 minutes. And they never answer it. It's the weirdest thing. Even a yes or no question, you can't get a yes or no.
There are a few that do.
It's crazy.
But there's very few. There's very,
very
few. And I have, but I've recently accepted a few friend requests on Facebook.
Right.
And from like close, well, family members. And then they're family members. So I guess it's one removed family members. It's not close family. And it's Byron, Uncle Byron, that sends all of the fake news stories on Facebook to all of the old relatives. And they all get their panties in a bundle and go crazy about totally fake news.
You mean literally your Uncle Byron?
Yes.
So he gets everybody all tore up.
Yes, yes. I accepted a friend request from him, and he sends on MSN Messenger, or not MSN, Facebook Messenger, at least one fake news story a day, every day.
You know, I have some people that are friends on Facebook also who I've noticed every, what you're saying, I guess, but I don't know if it's fake news, but every single day is some political post on their political view on something happening that day.
Yeah.
I'm like, does that not just wear you out?
Yeah.
I guess if that's what you're passionate about, this guy has missed his calling. He should have been one of those anchors on Fox News, CNN, something where he is just, I mean, he is obviously just engrossed in politics and cannot, you can tell, and this could be either way, but he happens to be a pro-Trump guy. So every single day, it's like he has to come up with something to support Donald Trump in whatever it is. It don't matter. Right. It's the oddest thing to see.
All right. Just to describe, though, to our listeners, the type of area that we live in.
We've been trying to do that for 3 years now.
I know, but it just hit me that this defines it for me right now. All right. Think about how many friends on Facebook you have that just rail on conservative Donald Trump issues.
What do you mean rail? You mean are against
regular,
it?
No, or regularly reposting, you know, right-leaning articles.
Tons.
All right. Now, how many friends who are liberal that post anything on politics can you think of that you're friends with on Facebook?
Not many or none.
Many. I mean, can you think of a single one? I can think of one.
No, not really.
I had one who was just as rabid left-leaning. And right. I mean, she was crazy. And I was always like, oh, my God. How can you keep posting this? Somebody's going to shoot you, sweetie. You can't say these things. Like you want to reach out to them, not on Facebook. You want to call them and go, honey, somebody's going to kill you. You can't say that.
Well, it's like we've talked about on the show before, and I get it that we're putting out a podcast, but I totally understand that our opinion doesn't mean shit. No, we're not putting whatever I believe. Like, people, I think, are so self-centered or narcissistic that they're like, well, if I keep putting what I believe out there long enough, I can convince everybody to believe the way I believe. I really think that's what they're trying to do.
Is that what they're doing?
I think they're trying to sway people, yes.
I don't. I think they're trying to be a part of the club. I think they are so desperate. Like, the overwhelming, and I mean overwhelming, political view in this area is conservative right. You know, evangelical conservative right, even.
Right.
So.
Right. No pun intended.
No pun intended. So if you want to be normal, like, this is somewhere where you can stand on your soapbox and wave your normal flag and say, yes, I am part of this community.
Well, maybe
there's like just a few of us that are standing back and going, wow, y'all all dumbasses. Like, there's only a few here.
I mean, there's a huge difference between, like, if somebody asks you your opinion, like, I don't mind that in a certain way.
Having a discussion.
But just to throw out, you know, political things.
I think it is spouting
it out all the time. Just seems silly to me.
It is to both of us. Maybe because we are not in that same boat. But I think we're also kind of the rebels or something. Because neither one of us feel like we have to always be surrounded by a bunch of people going, yeah, that's right, Hank. Yeah, that's right, Petra. I mean, I don't. Yeah. Neither one of us look for that outside validation.
Well, and I'll say this. If I'm ever in the crowd where the majority of people think the same way I think, honestly, I start to really self-evaluate.
I do, too.
I'm like, am I really right here? Because I usually, that just makes me second-guess myself.
Well,
sometimes it works out, but in general.
Yeah.
Right, you gotta check yourself psychologically and all kinds of stuff. But I definitely will start checking. Like, do I really believe this? Because it's really weird that everybody else believes
this. Everybody else says this is And I'm like that even with products. If everybody runs out and
I agree there,
you know,
too.
Buys something, I'm like, what if I've been brainwashed?
Yeah, I'm totally with you. I get it.
Weirdos.
You've had some mama drama. That's not fake news. That's news that's absolutely true.
Wow. It's been a tough couple weeks. It really has.
With your dad passing.
All right. When dad passed away, I told mom she had a free pass to do whatever she wanted, say what she whatever she wanted. Yeah, I said for maybe 6 months, Mom, you know, as long as you're not hurting anybody, you know, it's all good. I just didn't realize she was going to turn all that on to me.
I was going to say, looking back on it, do you wish you hadn't said that? Like, who should get a free pass in any circumstance to be
well,
a total, you know? Not that she's, I mean.
She's sweet to you.
Well, I was going to say, I don't mean to be like a total jerk, but I'm just saying I wouldn't give anybody permission to be mean to me, I guess, or whatever. That's why.
Well,
that's why.
Then we dig in some family history. Mm-hmm. anyhow.
So your dad passes away. Your mom's been grieving.
Yeah, yeah, and I found out a couple of weeks ago that she'd been on antidepressants for chronic pain and for depression
for a long time,
for a while, really years. And
isn't it great some of the stuff you discover when somebody passes away?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's fantastic.
See, my mom passed away a long time ago, and I've been through this, but it's been a long time ago, and it wasn't as intense as you because I was in college when it happened, so I was basically away.
Yeah.
For my dad when he was going through.
Yeah.
But I got it secondhand from my sister. So I know there's things you discover. Like I remember my sister, like, holy shit, he can't keep a bank account. Like he doesn't know how, yeah. He doesn't know how to.
She had to be totally freaked out by that.
Yeah. I mean, my dad is an intelligent guy and all that. And yeah, my sister goes in and basically has to do his bank. Like he can't do a bank account.
Wow.
Like shit like that. Like things you discover, like, how the hell is this even possible?
How does a grown adult never learn to do this?
Right. How do they not know how to write a check and pay your mortgage? Like, she had to do that for him. Like, she had to sit down and pay bills and like, okay, now here's what happens. AEP is going to send you a piece of paper with a bill on it. You write the check for this amount. You put it in this little register and then you keep blah, 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 blah. I remember when she told me, I'm like, how is that possible that he doesn't know how to do this? Like, Mom just did it for all those years, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, like, he may have done it once upon a time, like, sure, before they got married, but.
Anyway, it's just weird, some of the stuff you discover. So now you're discovering this.
Yeah.
From your family.
Yeah, well, from talking. Well, Mom had, and I kind of understand this, she had tripled her antidepressants, like, before the funeral. And then the day of the funeral, she went cold turkey, quit taking them at all.
Man, that messes up. Medicine is powerful. I mean, it's not just vitamins. People get a weird idea about that, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
Like, yeah, just a little pill, whatever. I'll take three of them for a while.
Well, I mean, that's why we have drug-resistant bacteria now, because people stop their antibiotics as soon as they quit feeling the symptoms rather than take – they just don't understand how to be a responsible healthcare patient.
And I get it. And I'm – as a kid, you know, you're like that. Like, my head's hurting. You know, this bottle says take two every 2 hours. Screw that. I'm taking four. I'm getting rid of this headache.
Yeah.
You know, you think you're invincible, but again,
that just damages your liver.
Exactly. You'd think as an adult, you would kind of.
Yeah. Outgrow that. Well,
right?
My mother hasn't.
So I'll just start taking three pills instead of one for a while.
Yeah, taking it three times a day instead of one. And then she went to absolutely nothing, which just totally derails your brain chemistry. And she's already going through, like, the loss of a lifetime mate. And it was heartbreaking. Like, it was gut-wrenching staying up all night with her, you know, just in a ball crying for hours. And I don't even think she might remember, in, you know, me being there. Well, after talking to her, I don't think she does.
Well, some of that stuff, in her defense, is kind of a blur for a few weeks after a funeral or something.
Yeah.
You remember somebody being there, but you don't know the details.
Well, and I'm gonna go ahead and say this, and it's going to sound horrible, but, I mean, there was a part of me that was, for just a minute, and I'm over it, but for just a minute was mad because I didn't get to grieve my dad because I was taking care of my mom.
Well, hopefully you had some time to grieve in between.
I did. I'm doing better. I'm doing a lot better. But yeah, some of those weeks were kind of a blur for me too. Cause it was.
I think it's a weird how our brain works.
Yeah.
Like you, when you have a bad accident and people are like, I don't remember.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like your brain protects you from that.
Yeah. I think, again, just going back to my own experience with my mom when she passed. I mean, I remember there was a funeral.
Yeah.
I remember people coming over to my house and I don't remember anything else.
Yeah.
And I don't remember any specific conversations, anything like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think it's a protective mechanism that we have.
Okay. I'm trying to look at everything very logically, but life was beginning to get back to, like, I'm here almost all the time.
Right.
Just go down for like a night visit once or twice a week.
To check on your mom.
Check on her.
Who lives about 3 hours away.
Yeah, go pick up some groceries. You know, if she wants to go shopping, and bless his heart, I've got one brother who's living there, and he's taking care of that on a day-to-day basis.
He's on the front lines.
He's on the front lines. But, you know, I'm kind of second string, and the other brother is, like, the emotional support network. So, like, we've got this covered, you know, mm-hmm. pretty well on three sides. And I was sitting here one night and the phone rings and it was mom, and she starts right off, rah, 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 and I need a plastic surgeon.
Okay.
And I'm like.
So she starts off the conversation.
Uh-huh.
Just.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you mean?
You know, sorry to call so late, blah, blah, blah. I mean, just some kind of like shotgun blast at you.
Urgent. I'm calling you for something.
Yeah,
and here's what I need.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like right now. And please understand that my mom's been talking about.
What'd she ask you?
For a plastic surgeon.
How old's your mom?
68.
And go ahead.
And she's been like sitting on the couch. I know. Like, she watches Law & Order, and every commercial, or every other commercial, when you're watching Law & Order, is lifestyle lift, plastic surgery. And she comes and stands in front of it like a kid watching it.
So you know this from
being there for weeks and weeks and weeks on end.
So you've seen this commercial and
Yes, and we've had long talks about this, and you know, it's not a good idea, blah, blah, blah. So she just calls me for the name of plastic surgeon right now. And I pause and then I'm like, no. And I mean, and this is just
like a little kid asking for candy. No.
No. like in that moment, it was like, oh shit, she's the kid. I'm the adult. No. And she got real bent out of shape and, you know, you've got to tell me this right now. I'm an adult. I can make my own decisions. You know, this kind of, I mean, these are the words that are coming out of her mouth. And I'm just like, no, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. And she got really mad and she goes, Petra, I'm hanging up. Click. And I was like,
Petra, I'm hanging up. Click.
And she, yeah, we're always clear with each other if we're aggravated and we're not going to carry the conversation on anymore. Just in case you think I got disconnected, I'm going to tell you I'm hanging up. Like, this is just a mother daughter thing that we've done for years.
Well, okay.
For years.
In the world.
I mean, it's,
whatever.
You know, that mothers and daughters have fights sometimes. Sometimes it's a lot worse, I've heard.
But
that is our bad disagreement.
Us guys will never in a million years understand the relationship girl and their mom have.
No, and we'll never get you and your dad.
No.
We just won't. I mean,
it's just part of it. Nothing wrong with that, but
I don't even
try to understand it.
It's just weird. It's just weird. But anyhow.
But she also knows that you've had some plastic surgery.
Yeah, she got it out of me that I had a boob job.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
So, and I really.
And I had a tummy.
That's like after 6 months or six weeks of staying with her, she got it out of me.
And I had tummy liposuction. I don't care. We don't care about having some plastic surgery here and there. I'm going to try to look good.
But we're in good health and she's not. And I, like, she sent me some kind of poke of a text and I sent her back a text of, you know, okay, I want this in writing so I can be clear. And I spelled out that was a bad idea. She's in bad health. She, you know, it's just.
She's post polio.
Yeah, yeah.
She's in a wheelchair half the time.
Yeah.
She's a little old lady at 68 years old.
Snow white hair.
Lives up a holler in the middle of nowhere. I mean, there's really
I told you why I didn't tell Mom that I got a boob job. One, she'd be, you know, all up in my face, don't do it. But,
right.
You know, two, just as big was then she'd want to go get it done. Like, she's just kind of childish that way. I mean, I feel bad saying that. I really do. I mean, it's just, I know this about Mom.
Old people are children.
Is probably what made me the way I am. But anyhow, man, this fight just drug out and back and forth, and she sent me a bunch of just really crappy bad texts. It's like, great, thanks, Mom.
Well, again, it's a kid throwing a tantrum. You told him no. You know, you're the child. You're not supposed to tell. It's supposed to work the other way around. They're supposed to tell you no.
Oh.
And I think parents, older people, I think that really gets them. I think that really gets them when somebody tells them no.
No.
Yeah. In any situation. I think with your kids, it may be even worse. But from my experience, just in the real world in general, the older you are, you just, these people, I don't know. I hate to say this in the way, but it's just fucking true. They're just fucking jerks. Old people are fucking jerks.
Mom was to me this week.
You know, they just, when it comes to some of these leases we've signed, when we just tell an old person no. If you want to see an old person go from zero to 10 in a second.
Shit.
Right. Something they really want to do, and you tell them no. You have some power to stop whatever this is.
Yeah. For whatever it is, my years.
You know, in my previous thing, you know, it's a copayment. I'm sorry, sir, you have a copayment. What? You know, I don't. Like, you do. I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. Well, the last place I went, I didn't have to. Well, I'm sorry, but look, I'll call for you while you're here.
Yeah.
I promise you, we're not trying to swindle you.
Yeah.
You have a copayment. You can either pay it or go somewhere else, and they're going to make you pay the same copayment.
Yeah. Yeah.
Things like that are just so black and white, and they just get so, God almighty, they can't understand it. They just can't understand it. They're like kids.
Yeah.
It's a theme.
Oh.
Old people are kids.
Yeah, I got a whole lot of that, and I really got to thank my baby brother, because he did eventually. At one point, Mom was not speaking. Like, because I wasn't being nasty, but I just wouldn't. Like, well, she even had middle brother call me, or no, I called him. I remember it. I called him. We were getting back and forth trying to talk a little bit. And buddy, he lit into me immediately with like, how could you hang up on Mom? She's your mother.
And I'm
like, wait, what? Like, this is where I'm starting to go, like the alarm going off in my head. And that wasn't for her. That was for a friend of hers. And it was a totally different conversation. Like from point, this was like this goofy game of telephone. And I'm like just train wreck in my head. I'm like, holy shit. He was honestly pissed off. Like he'd heard an entirely different conversation.
You know what? That's a good rule that I try to use a lot. You know, the whole seek first to understand, then be understood.
Yeah.
And that goes a long way. I mean, sometimes you can call somebody all fired up, and if you'll just calm down and get the information first, it may be totally a 180 what you think.
Well, bless his heart, he is in the middle of that situation right now. And I'm sure for his sanity, for his survival, he has to take her version of reality as actual reality. Because for a little while, she had me doubting my sanity. Like that maybe I didn't understand this. But, you know, but then you have to go back and really think about things. And, you know, was I ever, you know, nasty or did I hang up? And I didn't. Like, I was just very calmly, you've been around. You know, it wasn't a shouting match or me being a jerk or anything.
Well, it's just again, going back to the kid thing. Like, that's a very kid-like response. Like, well, I wasn't asking for me. I was asking for somebody else.
Oh, yeah, that became a big long. Like,
that's exactly,
you know,
what a kid would do when they got caught in that situation.
Yeah, and you know how when, a long time ago, when you were a little kid, and if you did lie, like, the reason you got caught was because you elaborated. Like, the story just got more and more. Like, I got that. Like, yeah. I had to listen to a 30-minute explanation of this bullshit.
Some big, long, elaborate,
yes.
Oh, my friend, this and that. And, you know, it's all made up BS.
Yeah, and it just got, like, it was like the whole Tatiana. It was so bad. And I just, wow. And I feel better. I really do. I mean, I've talked with my therapist.
God bless your therapist this week.
Yeah, he earned his pay this week.
He did.
Jeez.
He walked out of there straight to a bar after you left.
Probably like, did. Shit. Probably did. Yeah, because, I mean, I think he was kind of like chuckling at a certain point, and he's like, I've always wondered where your trust issues came from.
That's funny. Yeah. Oh, well, our old people situation. I don't know. And the old people are children saga. I'll throw one in I had from today.
Okay.
There was an older person who we put one of our condominiums up at a local vacation place. Well, it's a snowshoe. It doesn't matter. And we donate it to charities to raffle off time so they can go stay at our condo for a week.
Yeah.
As a charity thing.
It's popular in the fall because it's so beautiful.
Yeah, the leaves are changing. It's really nice. So anyway, I don't remember what group won this or was using this. I don't know if it was hospice or something. I don't know. But some lady won or silent auction bid on our condo. And I do it like a gift certificate. So I take down, anytime that happens, they call, because I have to phone their name in to snowshoe and get their information. I always get their phone number in case something happens. I need to call them or, you know, that kind of thing. So we want to use our condo soon.
Yeah.
And I just happened to figure out that this Barbara Stewart is who's using it.
Okay.
So I try to call Barbara. There goes our nightly
serenade.
Serenade. That's good. So I try to call Barbara. And today, the cell phone she gave me, somebody answers, and it's a guy, old guy. Sounds like 70 or more. I don't know. He could be 100.
200.
Yeah. I'm like, is this Barbara? Is Barbara there? No, Barbara's not here. Or no, Barbara's here. I'm like, well, can I speak with her? It's like this one of those random open-ended sentences. I'm like, and he's like, I'll hand the phone over to her. So then the phone dies. Click, nothing. And it wasn't I'm going to hang up on you now. It was just nothing. So I'm like, well, what the hell just happened here? Because we're trying to find out if she's staying there this week or not, if she used it, because we want to use it.
Yeah.
So what do? I immediately call back. You get that the person you're calling has a mailbox that has not been set up because they're a dumbass. So you're going to have to call back or text them or something because they're so fucking stupid that they can't function in 2017. So
the only thing worse than an old person with that message is a young person with that message. You're like, oh no.
It's such a bad sign. Whatever you're wanting from that person, you might as well forget it.
It's either
going to be an ass whip to get it or you don't want it. Whatever it is. So I call back and it doesn't even, you even tried from your phone, right?
It doesn't even
go to that. Like, it doesn't even ring once.
Yeah.
It immediately goes to that. The person you were calling is a mailbox is no longer, has not been set up and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I'm like, well, how are we going to get a hold of this dumbass? So we call like six times.
Nobody ever answers. I'm like, well, screw it. So
we're going anyhow.
Yeah. So about 6 hours later, I called. Apparently enough time must have went by. Oh, by the way, in the meantime, I sent a text message thinking that that was a great idea. Person that can't answer the fucking phone is going to be able to text message back and forth.
Well, okay.
But I sent one just saying, I've tried to call you. Your voicemail thing's not set up, so I need you to call me back, blah, blah, blah. Of course, I got nothing. No response whatsoever. 6 hours later, I'm like, well, I might as well try to call again. I call. The same old man answers the phone. This time it answers.
All right.
So before, they were obviously doing something. I was talking to somebody. He tried to hand the phone over to his dumb wife. It goes dead. And now you can't call them. They've done something on their end.
I don't know.
They've done something.
My mom does that all the time.
It's the fucking worst. If I could find their address, I'd go over to their house and take that fucking phone and just throw it against the wall.
You can't use this.
Exactly. Please, old people in technology. They need a damn rotary phone and a party line.
It's not fair because then, right beside it, there'll be somebody, freaking programming, it's not all old people. It really is not.
Tonight's episode is old people suck. Just the way it is. We've had a time with them. No, of course, it's not all you old people. But damn it, there's a good percentage of you that are sucking, and the rest of you need to pick them up and set their shit straight.
Yes, I agree. Oh, wow. Yeah, it has just been rough. It has been rough.
So anyway, this old man answers. I call back. He answers. Hello. I'm like, is Barbara there? No, she's not here right now. I'm like, well, why are you answering her cell phone? I literally asked. I do. I'm like, why are you answering her cell phone? She gave me a phone number where I could reach her. I said, is this even a cell number or is this your home number? No, it's a cell. I'm like, okay. So where's Barbara? Did you kill her? Is she chopped up in little pieces? Where the hell is Barbara? Well, she's not here right now. I'm like, all right, look, let's boil this down to the most simplest damn thing in the world. Is Barbara in our area, or is she 4 hours away from here at Snowshoe in a condo? Have you seen Barbara today in the last few hours? Yeah, she's here. She's not. Well, I don't know about any condo. I'm like, well, I started explaining. I'm like, well, she won time at a condo. And then about halfway through my sentence, I'm like, even in my mind, I'm like, what am I fucking doing? He doesn't understand this shit. And I just said, so she's here, right? And he's like, yeah, she just went to the store or something. I'm like, click. Turn the fucking phone up. Fuck it. I'm tired of dealing with these fucking dumbasses.
You have to say goodbye. You have to let them know that you're hanging up on them.
I didn't
hang up on you.
I did not use the Petra's mom's etiquette. I'm sorry.
All right. Used to be when you had a home phone, they were sturdy. Remember home phones? Sturdy. You could slam the phone down. Like if you wanted somebody to know that you were hanging up on them.
Yeah.
Clap. Yeah. Bam.
Nobody knows that now. The generation never have that gratifying experience of slamming the phone down.
It's not the same pushing the button and for crying out loud like an iPhone. No. No, there's just no anger in that. So you have to be able to say, I'm hanging up on you.
Well, Barbara apparently is not using our condo, so we can use it.
Okay.
Apparently she's in the tri-state area and married to a complete fucking idiot. Who for some reason has her phone. Who for some reason answers her cell phone when she's not there.
He chopped her up and is burying her in the backyard.
Yeah. Well, maybe that's happening. We got a Guns N' Roses song going on.
Yeah. Yep. Well, speaking of chopping people up, it was funny. I had to go to Lowe's and I'm setting up my tower garden.
Oh, the tower garden.
Yeah, and I needed like some tarps because I'm afraid that I'm going to get water. Yeah, it's indoors, and I don't want water to go everywhere. So I wanted a couple of tarps. So I'm wandering around Lowe's, and I've got like tarps in my cart, and I run into like the weirdest guy that ever worked for me at the lab. Like we both have new jobs now and everything.
Former employee.
Yeah, and he's like looking in my cart, and I'm like, yeah, I'm going to murder somebody, and he's like, yeah, I believe you. And then we ended up talking for like half an hour, and I showed him my tower garden and all that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, that's funny.
You know?
It is weird some of the stuff you buy. And, yeah. It is weird some of the stuff you buy, what ends up in your shopping cart.
Yeah, yeah.
You get lime, shovel.
Well, he told me where the lime was. I had like duct tape. And, you know, tarps, and I think even, like, some tie-downs. So it looked like I was going to freaking kill somebody.
Oh, well. Is that how you're getting so much? Well, that's good. I was going to say, if you're a hitman on the side, just keep doing it. Just don't tell me.
Okay.
Don't incriminate me.
That's how I keep our books balanced.
We need the money coming in, so that's great. You'd be a great hit woman.
A cleaner. That's the person that gets rid of the body.
Oh, you'd be a good cleaner.
I think I would, too. I don't think it'd bother me that much.
I could be a good cleaner. Yeah. Dead bodies didn't bother me. What else did you add? You had an article on...
One-hit wonders. Where are they now?
I like this kind of stuff.
I know. I was like, this is for us.
I like it when they end up doing something cool. Of course, you never hear. Hopefully, they're not going to pick on the dude that's on heroin homeless right now. But
yeah,
hopefully, it'll be...
Yeah, well, this seems
changers.
To be kind of balanced and all. This is from Wonderwall on MSN. I don't see a writing credit.
Wonderwall?
Yeah.
What is that?
It is like streaming headlines from entertainment.
Okay, it's like an entertainment section.
Yeah, it is.
I got you.
Yeah. Anyhow, starts with Macy Gray. I guess she's celebrating her 50th birthday.
Macy Gray... 50th birthday.
50th birthday.
Wow, makes me feel old.
Yep. She has released 8 more albums.
Damn, that's a nice early now.
Yeah. And let's see. She collaborated with Ariana Grande on the song Leave Me Lonely.
So she's still recording.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. And she does a little bit of acting. So she's still kicking. That's awesome.
Now, who is this?
That's Macy Gray. She's saying, I try.
Oh, yeah. She had a real jazzy, smooth voice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's awesome. This one you're going to love.
I'm going to go pee real quick. You hold that thought.
Oh, okay.
And I'll be right back. This boozy coffee's going right through me. And we're back. Gosh, that was nice. Yeah, I drink a ton of water today. I've been trying to stay more hydrated and specifically, like, work on that.
Uh-huh.
And then, we podcast and I always have a little booze in my coffee and boom. Damn. It's like opening up the dikes of the river. It's all pouring out at me. All right, so Macy Gray. That's not much of a surprise for Macy Gray that she's still recording and done some acting.
That's kind of cool. That is kind of cool.
I was expecting to say, like, she's designing new aircraft or something. I don't know. I was expecting different.
Something different from her or different from the article?
Something different from her. No, just from the article. I thought the article would pick people that are like, oh, big surprise. That'd be like saying, all right, Bruce Springsteen, guess what he's doing now? He's writing songs and playing and touring.
All right. See, she's a one-hit wonder, and she is still producing.
Oh, are all these one-hit wonders?
Yeah.
Well, then that's the common thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that helps a little bit then.
Come on. One-hit wonders are awesome.
All right.
And this one is, this is near and dear to you. I know you love this song.
All right. Let's hear it.
Tony Basil. Yeah.
Yeah. Old Mickey.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, I think I know the answer to this one. I've seen this on some article somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't she teach yoga or dancing or something? She teaches dancing.
All right.
I think.
After directing Mickey all on her own, she directed the music video. The multi-talented Tony Basil continued dancing in...
There you go.
The Lockers, a troupe she created back in the 70s. She also focused on acting, appearing in movies like 1990's Catch Fire with Jodie Foster and Dennis Hopper.
Right.
More recently, she choreographed Bette Midler's 2009 Las Vegas act, The Showgirl Must Go On. The one-time pop star is clearly still working it behind the scenes, but we have yet to wonder, do you think she could still rock a bucket toss?
Well, there's a video of her dancing, and she's doing
she choreographed a musical.
Crazy moves.
Yeah.
But she's in her, like, 60s.
That's fantastic.
I mean, this video shows her, like, doing all kinds of bullshit. It was sort of a viral video for a while.
Okay.
So, yeah, she definitely dancing and yoga and can definitely...
That's fantastic.
Yeah, she's really good for her.
Woohoo! All right.
Tony Basil. Yeah. Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so... Come on, who doesn't like that? It's a catchy tune. Like in 1983.
I really like that song, though. It's funny.
I did like it, kind of. It's a good 80s.
Like, I can handle it once or twice a year, and you're like,
it's a good 80s tune.
All right. Natalie Imbruglia.
I've heard the name. Don't know what she sings.
Torn.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We've recently saw something on that on your videos. Or maybe I just read it again. Maybe I'm getting my stuff mixed up. Yeah. Yeah. And as I think about this, no, you don't know about this. Her song, Torn.
Uh-huh.
People have just recently discovered this for some reason. It was a remake of some other song.
Oh.
Like, she's not the original person that did it, and people are freaking out. Like, oh, my God, my whole world's shattered because of that song. I thought it was her the whole time. Blah, blah, blah. You know, they're making fun of, frankly, they're making fun of millennials. I'm not making it up. What the article said, that all these millennials were, you know, in a funny way. Like, you know, my whole paradigm has changed, and how did I know she didn't really write that song or whatever.
You know, I wonder if millennials just don't think what everybody else is thinking about their own subject matter. You know, whatever this generation finds relevant might not be the same as what a subsequent generation finds relevant. It's just that the millennials, like, talk about it all the time.
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
I think they just talk about it. And I think all the rest of us... generation groups like jump on them, and it's kind of sad sometimes, but
I think it's kind of funny. I got another millennial bashing story in a minute though. It just comes up. They're just such easy targets.
You gotta quit shooting at them. poor babies.
Bless their hearts. They can't help it. They're dumb.
All right.
Old people and millennials.
You always pick on
If you could have a home where, like, millennials took care of old people, golly, that would be a house of...
Whores.
It would totally be. That's the next American Horror Story right there. Nursing home. All the employees are under the age of 30.
No.
Yes.
No. Oh. I'm not even sure what the millennial age group is. We look this up all the time, and I'll argue with you about this all the time, because when you're talking about, like, super young adults, when you're talking about millennials, like, you're talking about 24 and under.
I don't know who I'm talking about at this point. I'm just about anybody younger than me that's stupid.
God, you become that middle-aged asshole.
Anybody that's younger than me and have no ones whatsoever. That's what I'm saying.
You're a mess.
They're millennial. That's just my new word for being dumb. I'm giving up trying to figure out the age group. It's like, you walked into traffic, killed yourself, you're a millennial. I don't care.
You're a 9-year-old millennial.
Yeah, exactly. I don't care how old you are. You're just a millennial.
God. Please. All right, Natalie Imbruglia.
She's torn. Millennials don't like
She's
it. Got
torn.
It.
Torn. Yes, she's had three subsequent albums, and enjoyed mild success in Britain, but couldn't live up to her first and only real triumph.
Yep.
So she went back to acting.
Went back to acting.
All right.
All right. Anybody else?
Interesting.
Is that your three?
Well, there's more. Do you want to keep going?
Sure.
Like, I'll sum this up pretty quick. All right. Remember, Right Said Fred.
I'm too sexy for my love. Yes, I'm too sexy. That's it.
Yeah.
I'm too sexy for my body.
That was such a goofy song. And it was fun because you liked it knowing that it was goofy. And nobody was out of that joke. Like, right. That was a joke that everybody was in on.
You know, I love songs like that. I love goofy.
That was a good one. Anyhow, let's see.
Modeling.
No, not really. It looks like they went on to make 5 more albums.
Wow. Woo-hoo. 5 more albums.
Yeah, but they've not really.
You know, I'm Too Sexy is a closer at every concert. You know, that's the encore. I don't care how many albums they have.
Yeah, and evidently that most recent Taylor Swift song. Look What You Made Me Do.
Yeah.
She samples I'm Too Sexy on it and gave him a writing credit. So now, like, kids that have never heard I'm Too Sexy are hearing it on Taylor Swift
stuff. Thank God. Thank God these millennials get to hear I'm Too Sexy for My Body. Hey. The way I'm disco dancing.
You're just a damn mess of mine, aren't you? How much of that boozy coffee?
Booze is kicking in. I can't help it.
All right. Los Del Rio.
I don't know the song, but
Macarena.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I know those sons of bitches stole that. They've been playing that in the Caribbean for a million years.
Well, evidently, they pretty much keep recording other albums, but they always do a version of Macarena.
Perfect.
So
I like that song. I don't give a shit.
That's hilarious.
I like the Macarena.
I think it's pretty funny, but it's burned into my brain. I told you the Macarena song, didn't I? Or story.
I don't know. Let's hear it.
Oh, my God. Okay. My hometown is small. Very small town. Southern West Virginia.
One red light.
There's no red lights. There's not a red light
in
the county.
No red lights.
There's not one in the county. Anyhow, the small little place has 3 bars, or it used to years ago.
There is a red light at the railroad.
There's a flashing yellow light.
Okay. We got a flashing yellow light.
Yes.
For the whole county.
For the whole county.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Actually, there's a couple in a couple other little small podunk towns. But anyhow, it used to be 3 bars. And I came home sometime long after college when Macarena was like huge. And I think I'd heard it once or twice before, but it was just starting to get to be huge.
Right.
And I walked in, and I mean, this is the smallest, whitest, goofiest town in Southern West Virginia. And we had like one black kid going through school that was gay.
Yep.
And
gay black kid.
And he was just openly like flamboyantly gay in your face. And this was years ago.
I don't know how he didn't get killed.
Oh, no. I mean, nobody would. His name was Sweetness, and nobody would ever mess with him. Like, I really think he had so many beefy boyfriends on the sly that nobody would mess with him. But,
Getting a scoop on everybody.
And it's small town gossip, all that kind of stuff. Anyhow, I walk into this bar, and the it's an entire floor full of cheerleader girls and Sweetness right in the middle, giving it hell to Macarena.
That's great.
And I was like, oh, my God, I could die now. I've seen it all. It's awesome. It was I was proud of my little town
He was bringing culture to Southern West Virginia.
Yeah.
Good for Sweetness.
Cisco.
Thong Song.
Thong Song, yes.
I never really care for that song.
Yeah, he.
I thought he was trying to take himself a little too seriously.
Yeah. Well, he recorded like 3 more albums or 2 more albums. Okay, and he appeared in Celebrity Big Brother and Celebrity Wife Swap. So he's just trying to keep it alive, but
good for Cisco.
Yeah. Blind Melon.
Blind Melon. Well, I thought that dude was dead.
Yeah.
The lead singer.
Yeah.
That's what he's doing now.
Remaining band members are still touring with somebody else on front.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. How about this one? Chumbawamba, Tub Thumping.
Oh, I love that song.
I do too.
That's a great damn song. That's a great running song, biking.
Yeah.
That's damn inspirational. I love that.
I
bet they're still touring or something.
Well, they've had 11 rotating members over the years.
Wow.
Isn't that awesome? Like, they're a big band. And released 19 albums. And
19.
Just, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yep. So.
I wonder if there's another song of theirs in there that you've played me one of theirs that was totally different than that, but was pretty good.
Yeah, I think they've had a lot of political music over the years, and I can't think of the name, but it was from...
It was on a soundtrack.
It was off of a soundtrack. I am drawing a blank.
Whatever it was. It was on the soundtrack, and it was pretty good.
It was awesome. I really loved the movie and Whatever Happened to Mary was like the... Whatever Happened to Mary.
I don't know.
It was a good song. It was great. It really was. Eagle Eye Cherry. Save tonight. Fight the Break of Dawn.
Tomorrow. Yeah, too whiny.
Yeah. Yep. He released 3 more albums and still performs. Okay. Hey. You know, come on.
Yeah. This is whiny. Never did care for it when it was out.
That one. That was one of the, like, I felt bad liking it because it was a chick song, but I liked it.
Yeah, I suppose.
Lubega, Mambo Number 5. Remember that one?
I do remember that.
I liked that one. It was different.
I liked it for about a week. I remember.
Yeah, it was too much.
I remember thinking when I heard it, like, this is going to be really popular. Like, I knew it was catchy enough.
Yeah.
I don't know. I liked it for about a week. So what's Lou Vega doing?
His
flipping hamburgers at McDonald's.
No, 5th studio album. And he didn't find success in the United States. Did pretty well in Germany. He still tours and married his longtime girlfriend.
Well, a lot of these people are still doing music.
Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
So I guess a one-time wonder, but they're still.
Yeah,
they're still making. Songs,
they're still making music. Yeah, yeah.
I wonder if one of these people will ever have another one. Like, isn't it weird that somebody can have such a good song, like their first song? You named all these songs.
Yeah.
They're very popular. Everybody knows every word to them. That's all they got is one that's so, that just appeals to everybody. I mean, they keep making music. They've won Chumbawamba, 19 albums.
Yeah.
And not...
nothing else has
on average, even if there's only 5 songs in an album, and there's more than that, that's 100 songs. Not and only one that really is an earworm that
just everybody that jumps all over.
Yeah, that's must be so frustrating for artists to do that.
I bet. I feel bad for them. Like when you put it that way, you know, you kind of go, oh, they had that kind of success. And I guess it depends on where in their career that one hit wonder hits. I mean, is it the first song that you ever released? Could you imagine the letdown of that?
I would say most of these one hit wonders are very, very early in their careers.
Yeah.
Because one, I mean, that's just how our brain works. When we're younger, we are more creative.
Yeah.
It just, we get old.
Damn you millennials.
We get old.
This is why Hank hates me on you.
It is.
So much.
I'm jealous.
I think that is part of it. I'm pointing my finger at you because I mean it.
Well, I wish I was young again. I can't help it, but I'm not.
I don't think I could do it again.
You don't think so?
No. I'd like to have a young body again, but I don't want to not have my experience.
Yeah, I'd still want to have my experience, for sure.
Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah, and it's going to be early in your career when you have these one-hit wonders, because that's when you're creatively at your peak and yada, yada. But that being said, I wonder if there's some force, like even in the music industry or something, like let's say Chumbawamba, for example, 19 albums into this. Let's say they release a song tomorrow that is a badass song. I mean, it is phenomenal. But executives are like, it's Chumbawamba. And they just don't even give it a chance.
I bet it happens.
I wonder if there's songs like that. Everybody must have one. Some song that you know that's very obscure to everybody else.
Get the airplay.
Yeah. If anybody knows any of those, I'd love to know them. Send them my way. I'm always looking for new music. You can find it on YouTube and then send me a tweet. That'd be great. Speaking of that, where all can they find us?
We are online at hillbillynerdtalk.com. Yep. And from there, you can find links to Hank's Twitter. He's very active on that. I think he occasionally gets on Facebook, and I burn up Twitter, or not Twitter, Pinterest.
Right.
My political posts. Too many of them. But I can let it fly.
No, that's great. Let me show you another. All right. They don't have the age of this dude, but I'll bet my life is a millennial. All right.
Asshole.
You know what the Burning Man Festival is?
Yeah.
You know, they literally have a big, giant, like several bonfires or bonfires at this place. Did you know that?
I have seen pictures of some of it. Yeah, I didn't. Somebody just made it a literal Burning Man, didn't they?
Yeah, it's supposed to symbolize your blah, blah, blah.
We're
going to have to sit through a damn ad. Are you kidding me?
Final days of the Labor Day sale.
YouTube's been really bad about that lately.
They have. I want you to see this, just this picture of this thing. I thought it would just have a picture and not have that, but.
Well, instead we're going to have this really long Value City furniture.
That. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Picture. This giant, what do you even call this? This is like a spaceship made out of wood with a wooden man on top of it. And the whole thing they're setting and they're burning it.
Burning it. Okay.
Part of the Burning Man Festival. And apparently this is part of symbolizes, you know, the old self
and
starting anew and rebirth and all that stuff. And that's great.
Okay. And tippy dippy. And I think that's pretty cool. I'd love to go get totally wasted and hang out there.
Yeah. Well, apparently, about 70,000 people. It's held in Black Rock Desert out in Nevada, yada, yada. Well, every year, apparently, some of these idiots literally try to run into that.
What are they on?
I don't know. It can't be weed or anything. I mean, who knows what?
Who knows?
What I mean, could you that would make you run into a giant burning flame?
You have seen the, pictures from Burning Man. And it is, I mean, they're on shrooms and acid and I'm sure all kinds of designer drug shit, which is, some of it is
shrooms
nothing
and acid.
More than somebody in their garage mixing a bunch of shit up and, oh, let's see, we'll get people to try this here, we'll sell it, and we'll call it Blue Eyes. Yeah.
Shrooms and acid sound awesome. I don't think that's going to make you run
probably
into a
not,
fire.
But I mean, I don't know how much they're taking. This is one big long psychedelic trip. And I mean, that's what it's for. Everybody dresses up crazy. And
well, yeah. Well, this is crazy. This guy's names are saying Mitchell. I'm not sure even saying his last name in here. Well, apparently around these things, they form a human chain. Because so many people literally in the past try to run into this giant burning man made of wood. Well, this year somebody broke through the line, some dude named Mitchell, and literally ran into that fire and died.
Oh, jeez.
They pulled
That's
him out.
Horrible.
They pulled him out. Of course, he was burnt on 90% of his body or more. I don't know how it wasn't 100%.
Yeah.
And he died at the hospital. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, you'd have to start out with a certain level of crazy and then add some drugs to it. You just have to.
Attempts to rescue Mitchell were hampered because part of the structure was falling while they were trying to get Mitchell out of it, the sheriff said. Quote, the rescuers had to leave him and allow the structure to fall and provide for rescuer safety before they could go back into the flames and extract his body from the debris.
Well, you know what? That's the smart thing to do.
Ta-da!
I'm all for helping people everywhere you can. But there comes a point where, if that's coming down on, 20 people, let Mitchell make Mitchell's decision there.
Quote, people try to run into the fire as part of their spiritual portion of Burning Man, in quotes.
Wow.
This guy, Alan, whoever Alan is, saying this. Quote, the significance of the man burning is just a kind of rebirth. They burn the man to the ground. A new chapter is started. It's part of their tenets of radical self-expression. Yeah, that's pretty radical self-expression when you run into a burning inferno.
Yeah.
That you know you're going to die. I think it's more suicide. Don't you?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I can't imagine. Like, that is probably the worst
way to die.
You're going to pick a way to kill yourself. That is just, I can't imagine picking that.
No, me either. It seems absolutely insane. And the fact that they know that people every year try to do this, and they basically have human chains around these fires.
Yeah.
And some security, apparently. They have a little bit of security around this. In fact, here's the very first sentence. A man rushed past layers of security officers into a mass fire at Burning Man at their signature ceremony, suffering burns that left him dead hours later.
Jeez.
There's his name. Joel Mitchell, 41. All right, what a millennial. Broke through a two-layer security perimeter into a giant wooden effigy.
Were they tripping ayahuasca or something? I mean, there had to have been something chemical, and even just boatloads of alcohol.
Well, of course they're going to blame something, but you know they don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Whoever this guy Alan is, he must be the director or something. He's their public speaker.
Public relations.
Quote, we don't know if it was intentional on his part or if it was just kind of induced by drugs. We're not sure of that yet. End quotes.
Yeah.
Yeah, who knows? I mean, like I said, I don't know what kind of drugs in the world make somebody do that.
Me either, but
I just thought it was crazy. So there you go. So I stand corrected. He was not a millennial. He's 41.
Yeah.
He's a 41-year-old idiot. But he's younger than I am, so he's a millennial. Jackass.
What hit him with a microphone tonight? I do.
I can't help it. What's the matter with these crazy people?
I don't know. There had to have been a host of things going on for that. I mean, you just don't choose to burn yourself alive unless you're making some kind of crazy protest statement.
Look at that inferno.
Yeah.
And imagine running into that.
I couldn't.
Look up some pictures online, people, of this Burning Man closing ceremony of this fire that actually looks pretty impressive.
It does.
Except for people running into it.
It's pretty horrible. I don't know. Burning Man is one of those things that's like I would want to go to, but as a tourist, like from the safety of a safari bus.
That's what they should do. Just like take tours around the people. Like you're going on a safari. Like, look at the.
Like, we're air conditioned and.
Here you see the native millennials trying.
Running around naked.
Peeing on each other because they think they got stung by a jellyfish, even though we're in the middle of the desert.
Don't take acid, folks.
Oh, one more for you, then we're going to go.
All right.
This is a cute one, actually. This lady took this car. This is from ABC Morning News, apparently.
Okay.
I don't know why that's a weird one, but whatever. A lady took this car to car dealer to get it serviced.
Uh-huh.
What kind of car is that?
Is it a Mustang?
I think it's a Camaro.
Okay.
No, wait a minute. I think you're right. Well, no, it's a Camaro. I see the little, yeah. It's the new Camaro. She takes it to the local Chevrolet dealership to get worked on.
Okay.
She goes back to work.
Uh-huh.
And apparently she works. I don't know why she has a car like this where she works, but she works at a fast food place.
Okay.
The dude, the mechanic, pulls up and orders food
at her place.
And she snaps a picture and says, like, what the hell are you doing driving my car here?
Oh, whoa. Okay.
So there you go. I mean, that's just the end of the story, pretty much, except the car dealership, of course, falls all over themselves apologizing and
better fix the car for free.
That's not our policy and blah, blah, blah. But then it's just like, this is Ferris Bueller's Day Off with a little guy, you know that scene, right?
Yeah.
Except it's not a mechanic, it's in my parking garage.
I mean,
but it was a similar situation.
All right, I was having a hard time with Ethel, my car, my old car. And I had to send my mechanic out, like, riding in my car. Because it was like, well, you have to get it going. And then it really, like, it kind of shimmies and jerks a lot in the steering wheel. And that's usually when the car is out of alignment or balance or something. This was when I was going to cosmetology school and driving a ways on the interstate. And he had to get the car all the way out on the interstate.
Yeah.
And he was like, Petra, how damn fast do you drive? That's a quote. How damn fast do you drive?
They know. Mechanics know. They do. I don't know what they put on there, but they do kind of know, I have to say. But anyway, she had added for maintenance.
Yeah.
She confronted him. She said, you're telling me that you're test driving my car? No. Why are you test driving my car? You're getting food at a drive-thru.
In my car.
In my car. You're not supposed to be getting food, she adds. What are you doing?
I don't blame her. I'd be pissed.
I would too. And of course, the dealership has her standard. This is something we absolutely, quote from the dealer, quote, this is something we absolutely do not condone. It's completely against our company policy, and we are conducting a thorough investigation on the technician to make sure this does not happen again. The technician made a huge mistake, and my apologies on his behalf and behalf of the dealership. Yeah, we're looking into it. We're looking into how fast we can fire his ass, hopefully.
Probably not. I bet mechanics are pretty secure in most of their jobs because there's just not that many of them.
Well, if he does a good job, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But, well, yes, I do know. If it was my company, he'd be fired as soon as he drove back into the dealership. Come on. Yeah. You can't have jackasses doing that bullshit.
Okay.
I wouldn't. He'll find another job somewhere, I'm sure, but whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, I just thought it was kind of a cute little story.
That's funny.
Nothing crazy. Nobody died. Not the end of the world. But, but just so you know, when you drop your car off, and aren't you always, well, with our cars, it doesn't matter for one. But when you just hand the keys in your car over to somebody at a valet or something, isn't there some little thing in the back of your mind, like, what are these people doing in my car? Are they rummaging through whatever?
You know, honestly, I have a
gun.
Not really.
I have a gun under my seat. I'm always like, are they going to steal my gun? Are they going to, you know?
Yeah.
They're going to kill somebody with my gun, stick it back under here, and now I'm framed for some bullshit. So,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't worry about it that much. I'm like, take it. Or I wouldn't be like, don't put a scratch on it. And my car's all beat to hell and rusting.
I do that with Elmer, my old pickup truck. I will say that in joking. We're like, yeah, that's great. That's one thing about driving a crappy car. You don't have to worry about that.
Don't have to worry about it.
But you know, cars are so personal, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. Mine's actually beginning to become embarrassing. I really do want another car. And it's starting to scare me.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I need something a little bit bigger. I'm starting to get a little paranoid in it. So we're going to fix that.
We will.
All right, everybody. Have a good one, and we'll talk to you next week.